guys for getting late. But one of the members, having said, having apologized then to everyone, especially our guests from FSC, King Chairperson, and Honorable Member Tilly from SALGA. We apologize. Otherwise, the meeting would have started without members, and this is the meeting of the members, so I couldn't do that. And we have our guests as well from Treasury, led by the, should I say, acting or omit acting for acting PPG. You're very welcome, and the team. I know that in terms of the program, we need to start with FSC. No? Okay. I see, Chairperson, that you have got the whole list, but I don't see all the faces here in the list. But it's fine. Maybe we should start with you then. And welcome. But honourable members, before we start, we have invited the FSC. As we know that in terms of the constitution, the FSC is supposed to be invited by the committee, but not that, not only that, but in terms of submit its comments on the coming budget and the current budget. FSC is supposed to advise Parliament about the fiscal, financial and fiscal, what we call issues. Last week we had a presentation by the National Treasury on the Division of Revenue. We have since asked again the acting PPG of National Treasury to be present in this meeting, as we anticipate that the FSC will raise some of the issues that they might have to respond to. We don't have a lot of time. This process must be concluded on Friday, and therefore it's better when we're sitting together so that if there are responses, we have them now. But we also, in terms of the medium-term budget policy statement, you would remember that we were informed that there will be a new approach to financing or a new model in financing local governments. Now, it is it's based on that understanding that we invited SALGA also to comment on the Division of Revenue based on that a new model, which I think that is a good model because it takes into account the capacity of different municipalities in terms of providing services. So with those few comments, may I invite Mr. Kumalo, the Chairperson of the Financial and Fiscal Commission.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you also, honorable members, for the invitation to brief you on the Commission's submission on the 2014 Division of Revenue Bill. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a few words up front, and then I'm going to ask my senior managers here to to take you through the actual details of the presentations. I brought with myself, on my left is Mr. Khalib Dawood. He is based in our Cape Town office here. He's a program manager in the budget analysis unit. And then I've got to my right Eddie Rakave, who is a program manager for fiscal policy, based in Johannesburg, and fiscal policy. And then next to him is Sasha Peters. She is a program manager in the local government unit. She's based in our Cape Town office. Now, you said, Chairperson, that there's a list of people that you can't, whose faces you can't see here. I left them in the other side because we had a briefing earlier with the Standing Committee on Finance. So I left them that side to deal with the difficult questions that were going to be asked there. Now, I think in terms of our submission, let me just indicate that in terms of the Intergovernmental Fiscal Relations Act, we have to meet with the Minister of Finance and discuss the Commission's recommendations at least 2 weeks before the Minister tables the budget. But the process that we've agreed on is a process that basically involves continuous interaction between our Commission Secretariat and the Office of the DDG for Intergov in the National Treasury, and that would be Ms. Ngaleni there. So there's a lot of work that happens behind the scenes around these recommendations leading up to the time that we actually table this submission. Now, I must indicate that part of the process that happened last year already, 2012, end of 2012, running into the 2013 budget, was that the Minister of Finance did make a proposal to us that in terms of the Intergovernmental Fiscal Relations Act, he needs to respond to the recommendations of the Commission that relate to the Division of Revenue Bill in terms of that process. And so there's a host of other recommendations that the Commission makes in terms of its own mandate, which is basically Section 2141 and 2 of the Constitution and the Financial and Fiscal Commission Act, and also a host of other pieces of legislation that we all put together in this one big submission that we call the Annual Submission for the Division of Revenue. Now, so you would find that in the response that the Minister has given, there are some recommendations of the Commission that were not responded to because they were deemed in the discussions between the Commission and the National Treasury not to be related directly or indirectly to matters relating to this year's Division of Revenue Bill. And nevertheless, from the Commission's perspective, we still would like for Parliament to actually take those into consideration as it processes the budget documentation, because some of them relate to the fiscal framework, some of them relate to revenue issues, and some of them even relate to some certain policy decisions that have been taken in the past that actually impact on service delivery going forward. So we would like Parliament to still consider those. We will be discussing with the Minister of Finance in terms of how going forward these recommendations that are not responded to in the memorandum accompanying the Division of Revenue Bill, how then the Minister will be able to process them going forward. So those discussions are still ongoing between the Commission and the Minister. So I just want to raise that as a point to note. So in terms of our submission that we're making here, so we address issues around the changes in the Division of Revenue Bill that we consider to be substantive changes that were announced, and I think National Treasury did take you through those on Friday. We make a few observations around the fiscal frameworks for national government, provincial government, and also for local government, including the adjustments and changes that have been made or are proposed for the conditional grants. And then we deal with the government's response to the commission's recommendations. And finally, we deal also as requested by the letter that invited us. We also deal with the government's response to the recommendations of the Standing Committee on Appropriations, including also the specific conditional grants that you requested us to look at, and I think that was the mainly the rural household infrastructure grant, RHIC. Let me then, Chairperson, at this point hand over to Mr. Eddie Rakabe to take us through the first part of the presentation, and then Ms. Peters will then take over from him at some point. I must say that the other two people that are supposed to be here that are on your list is Commissioner Ajam and our research program director, Dr. Ramos Mabugu. They might actually join us whilst we're in the course of this presentation.
Eddie. Before you
made a comment about your warm relationship between Financial and Fiscal Commission and Treasury. But 2.2 on page 1 does not seem to be concurring with what you say. I don't know if you want to comment now or later.
Chairperson, this is an issue. We can have differences. We will talk about these things. 2.2 on page 1 basically deals with the specific comments on the 2014 Division of Revenue Bill. Yes. No, so, I mean, these are views that have been exchanged. So they basically are aware of what we're talking about. Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'll take the committee through the first two sections, and Ms. Peters will also will do the local government fiscal framework. On page 2, just to note the changes, the major highlights of the division of revenue base. In this case, the commission notes the new addition in the Division of Revenue Bill, which increases accountability for transferring officers. So the transferring officers are now required to provide reasons when they are withholding or stopping allocation for the commission. This is a welcome development in the bill. There's also a new requirement which gives explicit deadlines for repayment of unapproved rollovers, and for the Commission, this is also a welcome development as there is no reason for provinces or municipalities to keep the money that is not being approved for rollovers. The bill also proposes some incentives and support for integrated city, where there is a requirement for metropolitan municipalities to submit 10-year a plan which for spending conditional grants. So for the Commission, this is also a welcome development, but what the concern there is that the requirement for metropolitan municipality to submit what the bill refers to as built environment performance plan should be aligned to the IDPs and the other planning frameworks within the metros, to avoid creating multiple layers of planning bureaucracy. In 2013, the Division of Revenue Bill also introduced the incentives for planning on conditional grants for infrastructure, conditional grants for provincial government. For this year, what the Commission would like to highlight is that while this is very important for provinces. This requirement must also be extended to national government, which are implementing indirect conditional grants, such as your school backlogs, school infrastructure backlogs, infrastructure grants. So they must also be subjected to that kind of planning exercises. The Commission also noted some of the developments in the Division of Revenue Bill, which makes provision for shifting of funds between or within certain conditional grants, which make provision for indirect and indirect conditional grants. And for the Commission, again, it's a welcome development because this is actually expediting service delivery and provision implementation of infrastructure projects. But what is also important there to take note is that while indirect grants are actually a welcome, this should not be weakened the municipalities and provinces to who benefit from these conditional grants, because in most cases indirect grants are not associated with a transition plan, which actually indicates how the provinces are going to take over these funds, even the associate the required capacity to implement some of these conditional grants. On the medium term, the national fiscal framework, the MTF Division of Revenue. What the Commission knows there is that the medium term for 2014 is characterized by a moderate growth, with a real annual growth rate of 1.5% over the MTF, and as a result, non-interest expenditure is expected to rise from about 1.5 trillion rand to 1.6 trillion in 2016. And the table just gives indicate the amount allocated to the different spheres and the additions to the baseline. Now, the Commission again welcomes the fact that the 2014 budget maintains the momentum on fiscal restraint, which was adopted from 2013. Of the about 1.2 trillion non-interest expenditure allocated for 2014, the nation. A significant proportion of that budget goes to national government, but what we're also noting is that the share of national government is declining steadily over time, and the number of provinces is rising steadily. Local government receives the lowest 8.9% of nationally raised revenue. Excluding the shifts of the saving from departments, and there is an additional amount of 7.2 billion rand that is added to the budget for new priorities, and overall the provincial allocation are revised upward by 29.5 billion rand, which is a greater portion of that goes to the provincial equitable share, which is 23.5 billion rand, and 6 billion goes to conditional grants. Local government receives an additional allocation of 4.7 billion to its equitable share, and 1.9 billion to conditional grants. And as I've indicated earlier, there is a total of 28 billion that is added to the MTF new priorities, and the major additions are actually part of the bigger additions are allocated to funding of inflation-related salary adjustment. There is a chapter in the Commission submission for this year which talks about the managing the wage bill, and the Commission is making some specific recommendations around managing the wage bill. And another considerable allocation of the budget is allocated to regional bulk infrastructure to accelerate delivery of bulk water and sanitation, rehabilitation of infrastructure destroyed by the natural disasters, and other priorities such as the introduction of the new vaccine for cervical cancer. Now, going to the provincial fiscal framework, what we know there is that the 2014 provincial fiscal framework, inclusive of conditional grants, is revised downwards by 200 million over the 2014 period, but only when we compare with, to the 2010 MTBPS. 2013 MTBPS, yeah, sorry. The bill proposes an increase to the provincial equitable share from 338 billion rand to 362. And as I mentioned, a bigger part of that increase is allocated for higher wage costs. Conditional grants are projected to grow by 2% per annum in real terms, mainly to fund the flood damages cost in the first half of 2013, and to fund the new 2-year OSD grant for education therapists. So the issue there with the education, with the OSD fund grant is that once this grant is transferred into the equitable share, provinces should be monitored to ensure that they implement the grant properly to avoid the situation that we had last time with the implementation of OSD.
Yes,
in 2 years time the grant will be phased into the equitable share. Now, with respect to the provincial fiscal framework, the provincial equitable share formula, it has been updated in 2013 to 2011 census data because of the expected population movement and migration. There's been some shocks in other provinces, and as a result, there was a decision that was taken to phase in the changes in the equitable share formula over time. Eastern Cape took a bigger knock in terms of the allocation with a reduction of about 0.5% in PES shares, but that has been provided for in the phasing in, so that the provinces is not worse off. Again, there was an issue about the declining the education component, which was also updated with the new enrollment figures. And as a result, certain provinces like Gauteng, Northwest, have had their enrollment numbers increasing quite drastically, which meant that other provinces are actually losing the bigger numbers. But that again has been taken care of through the phasing in of the equitable share with and even the manner in which the phasing in has been. The phasing in is taken in school consideration has been changed. Now, with respect to the provincial conditional grant issues, the Commission mainly notes the decrease in agriculture conditional grants, which are largely due to the underperformance of the grants. There has been a number of issues which have been raised with respect to the to infrastructure conditional grants. Related to poor planning, the procurement challenges, late submission of the business plans, and the skill deficit in some provincial agriculture departments. And for the Commission, because these challenges have been ongoing for quite some time, the reduction in the agriculture conditional grants is a welcome, but that should also be accompanied by a complete review of this grant to ensure that they don't compromise the outcome for the outcome of government in with respect to agriculture and food security. The Commission support efforts to improve efficiencies in the sector through leveraging a private sector funding, better absorption of the available funds, improvement in coordination with other sectors, and removing existing duplication. Now, with respect to there's also a new conditional grant which is introduced to fast track bucket eradication and housing backlog in mining towns. So this conditional grant is funded through the reductions in the human settlement development grant and the human and the urban settlement development grant. Sorry. The commission again welcomes the new conditional grants for fast-tracking bucket eradication and dealing with housing problems in the mining towns. But what the commission knows that there is that the old priorities must not be replaced with the new ones, and that the reduction in the HSDG should not accelerate the declining housing unit numbers, because the commission has actually indicated that the funding for housing is far short of the growing demand and growing demand for housing, and is unable to cap the growing backlog. So if you cut the HSDG, that should not be done at the expense of dealing with the growing housing demand. They also need to ensure that there's a capacity to ensure that there's better work is done with appropriate grant frameworks, including exit strategies. Here, the Commission actually is referring to the issue of the bucket eradication, that there has been numerous efforts over the years to eradicate buckets, and such efforts have, there's no clear indication of how such efforts have performed over time, and what we're seeing is new grants being introduced to deal with this bucket eradication, but there's no indication of how different is this grant going to work compared to what has been done earlier. So there's again that need to learn from past experiences on what has failed and what has worked. With respect to the,
I just want to follow you properly. You say there's no difference between this grant and the other grant. The other grant is the rural water climate grant.
Yes, rural household infrastructure grant. No.
Yeah. So I just.
No. We're not saying there's a difference. The issue there is that because there's been an emphasis on eradication of bucket system over a period of time, and there have been a number of interventions introduced over the years to deal with bucket eradication, we're still sitting today with backlogs in eradication of these buckets
and
underspending on this thing. So what we say is that when we're introducing this new grant for bucket eradication, we should be clear on how we're going to be dealing with the challenges that have been affecting us, not to eradicate this bucket system over the past period. So that's the main, and also to learn from the past experiences of what went wrong and what were the issues. Now, with respect to interventions in mining, with respect to the grant for intervening in mining towns, the issue there is that while the commission accept or welcomes the grant to deal with the housing issues in the mining towns, we also noting that the interventions must respond to individual household circumstances. So the work that the commission has done on housing last year, there was a submission that was submitted to Parliament on housing, which actually indicated that different households in different circumstances actually require different housing interventions. So to go into the mining towns and actually put the and use the RDP as a solution for all may not be appropriate. So we need to understand what are the different housing interventions that can be used, except just to put the RDPs. Now, with your permission, Chair, I'll ask Ms. Peters to take us through the local government fiscal framework, and then I'll finish up with the comments on responses to the FSC.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee and other colleagues. Yes, so now we turn to local government, and in terms of adjustments to the local government's fiscal framework, The equitable share allocation amounts to 147 billion over the 2014 medium-term expenditure framework, with conditional grants increasing from 34 billion in 2013 to 36 billion in 2014. Given the significant service delivery responsibilities placed on the local government sphere in terms of sections 4 and 5B of the Constitution, the Commission supports the improvements in both the LES and conditional grant allocations. Now, in addition to progress with respect to revenue equity amongst municipalities, and which the revised LES takes us closer to, there are also other objectives that the Commission feels are key. Things like building financial and technical capacity, ensuring certainty and accountability, and of course effective service delivery. With respect to financial and technical capacity building, the main issue for the Commission is the lack of coherence and synergy between attempts at improving capacity in general. There is a plethora of conditional grants and interventions. You've got the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency. But from the Commission's point of view, these things do not all fit nicely together in a coherent strategy to address the skills issue. In terms of stability and uncertainty, we feel that adherence to the concept of that medium-term expenditure framework is key. It enables organs of state to plan and budget. So whilst we understand that policy reprioritizations, they are natural and they are to be expected, we just feel that any shifting of focus should aim to be as smooth as possible so that there's little disruption to the good performers in the system. Then in terms of accountability, the Commission welcomes a strong focus on eliminating corruption. And as you know, attainment of this is also one of the key principles of the National Development Plan. In light of the increased pressure on local government revenue sources due to increases in input costs, higher demand for service delivery, the Commission welcomes the review of own revenue sources that that is currently underway. And in addition to the review of own revenue sources, there's also a review of local government infrastructure-related conditional grants. And we as the Commission appreciate this approach that is being spearheaded by the National Treasury and that involves a range of the key stakeholders. We feel that some of the persistent challenges in the system, such as the uncertainty over powers and functions of local government, can hamper the effectiveness that these reviews can achieve. So the Commission is, in this regard, very concerned with the little progress that has been made on government's review of the local government functional and fiscal framework that was proposed back in 2010.
You know, it would be helpful for the committee if you say because of Baskuma, of uncertainty with respect to the powers and functions of, just to say, for example, this is what you mean, so that we can be on the same level with yourself.
Okay, I think these, with respect to the powers and functions, particularly around district and local municipalities and the fact that the Municipal Systems Act allows for, based on capacity of the different types of municipalities, for those powers and functions to be delegated between those, between Category B and C municipalities. As of the 2014 financial year, the Rural Households Infrastructure Grant will be divided into two components, a direct and an indirect grant for those municipalities that lack the capacity to implement the grant themselves. And given that this grant targets specifically rural municipalities that often lack implementation capacity, the Commission advises that allocations in terms of the direct component be based on an assessment of capacity within the recipient municipality. Then capacity constraints are not new. They continue to hamper the ability of the sphere to fulfill its mandate. The Commission has previously raised the failure of capacity building grants and interventions in improving municipal performance. And in this respect, we propose that government consider a review of capacity building grants and programs and looking specifically at the design, implementation and outcomes associated with such interventions. There is one new conditional grant that enters the system this year, the Human Settlements Capacity Grant. Given some of the challenges that I just spoke about with respect to capacity building, the Commission emphasizes the need for coordination and synergies between this new intervention and the numerous other interventions that exist in the local government sphere. And then finally, with respect to local government, the Commission welcomes the National Treasury-led review of the local government infrastructure grants. And we reiterate our full commitment to working with stakeholders in the process and just key issues that we think should be looked at within this review is governance and capacity related to these local government conditional grants. Chair, I'll hand back over to Eddie just to conclude.
Okay. Thanks, Asha. Yeah, okay. As our acting chair has indicated, that there's been a process that the Commission engaged with the National Treasury on the responding to the Commission's recommendation. So for this, for the 2014 submission, the government has responded to 8 of the 13 chapters in the Commission's submission. The responses, as our acting chair has indicated, are classified into those that directly and indirectly related to the division of revenue. Now, in the division of revenue for this bill, 3 chapters were are directly related to the division of revenue, and 5 chapters are indirectly related to the division of revenue. Yeah. But the responses have been government has provided responses for those chapters. Now. Okay. With respect to, again, here the Commission just like to emphasize that Parliament exercise some oversight on accepted recommendations, and where the responses indicate that there are existing interventions to question, especially this relate to the responses around the existence or the effectiveness of the function budgeting and function groups that will be introduced in this year. There's also the response around the FET turnaround strategy to deal with the Commission's recommendation on funding of FET colleges. But there's also some responses around reining the wage bill. So this is where the Commission would like to emphasize that Parliament exercise oversight over those responses. Again, the Commission also made some recommendation regarding the need for consultation, especially when new conditional grants are introduced. And it's just to emphasize that Section 2141 of the Constitution must be adhered to when conditional grants are introduced, including the FFC Act. This is just to make sure that the grants are better designed, there's better planning, and the Commission can provide some assistance to government into doing that. With respect to the comments of the Commission on score recommendation, the first one on priorities in provincial and municipal budget, there was a recommendation there that the budget of the provinces and municipalities must reflect priorities of the government and also reflect the weighting assigned to the formulas in the budget. So here the commission agrees and support the response that was given by government, since this is also dictated by the structure of the constitution. But the issue there is that MND system should be monitoring evaluation system should be improved. Around avoiding unnecessary rollovers in health grant, again, here the commission views the answer that was provided by government as rather incomplete, because here the issue with the rollovers with the health grant, the issue is about capacity to spend additional funds and to address the possible equity consequences that may arise if you keep on approving rollovers. Now, on the need to address sanitation backlogs, the Commission also agreed with the responses, but again here it's just to emphasize that grant framework must tighten the conditions to ensure that there is accountability, ensuring that the objectives are met within a predetermined time frame, and the exit strategy must be in place. Lastly, on monitoring of pre-basic services, again, here, Commission agrees that the National Treasury and especially DCOP must continue to monitor provision of pre-basic services, but that should be done in conjunction with the improvement in M&E system, especially that of DCOG and municipalities. On grant design, the Select Committee has recommended that there should be better process of designing conditional grants, and the Commission obviously agree with the recommendation. But also note that the sector departments don't necessarily commit significant amount of resources to designing and monitoring grants and their performance. On support for municipal infrastructure on maintenance, government indicates that there is an 8% that is usually enforced for municipalities to allocate on operational expenditure. But for the Commission here, the issue is that the amount allocated for operational expenditure should be linked to the condition and the nature of the and the life cycle of the infrastructure, and not just the percentage. So the Commission has made some recommendation on the maintenance of water and electricity infrastructure, and those should also be taken into account. With respect to the provincial treasuries and the concern over provincial expenditure, there is a concern there that some provincial treasuries remain weak, and as the latest AG and PFMA report shows, that some provincial treasuries do not provide adequate combined assurance. So the Commission there again agrees that there needs to be provincial treasuries needs to be capacitated in order to do the expenditure control. So I'll hand over to our acting chair to just do the conclusion.
Thanks, Eddie. I think in concluding here, Chairperson, we must basically, as a commission, indicate our overall concurrence with the changes that have been proposed in the bill. We think that the focus on the National Development Plan needs to be maintained further and translated into the various departmental budgets. It's very clear from the budget review how these allocations have come about, and it's important that when one goes to the ENE, they are able to still track the detail of what is in the budget review in the various departments' budgets, and that is something that we think needs to be very clear going forward. We also welcome the idea of setting expenditure ceilings, because one of the key issues here that wasted in the system. And so what if one just works on growing expenditure at infinitum without actually looking at the value and where the money is going, there could be a problem. So when you tighten budget constraints, which is what these ceilings are doing, you then force the budget implementers to find creative ways of actually dealing with their service delivery obligations, and hopefully that also would assist in addressing some of the challenges that relate to inefficiency, waste, and corruption, and all of those types of ills that are plaguing the system. I think we need to also welcome the new requirements that basically institutionalize or are aimed at institutionalizing local integrated planning and also the built environment around our cities. This is basically a very welcome issue. I think 2010 already the commission did some work around this, and the changes that we are seeing now are very much in line with what we were recommending around integrated and more compact cities. Now, there is a concern. I think that takes me back to that issue, Chairperson, in 2.2 that you referred to at the beginning. There is a concern that we must raise here with respect to the trend that we are observing of a growing share of indirect grants in the conditional grant system. Now, I think it's important that as a commission we put it in the context of the commission's mandate in terms of section 2141 and 2 with respect to the division of revenue bill and how allocations both on the equitable share side and on conditional grants have to be done with the consultation of the Financial and Fiscal Commission. Now, most of these indirect conditional grants do not come to the Commission as a consultation process. They come when decisions have already been taken. And it becomes quite difficult for us to then enter into the discussion about the efficacy of even the design of those types of grants. We have engaged with the National Treasury and we have indicated to them that it would make a lot of sense if we could put in place a mechanism that ensures that any department that wishes to change the nature of grants that they control, when they do that, they make that request with the National Treasury, they must actually, of necessity, also parallel to that process, involve the Commission so that we are all at the same level when these things are actually evolving. And we can also provide the relevant assistance in terms of designing some of these grants. I think it's important to note that what we have observed lately is a reversal in the system of a recommendation that was made way back in 2003 by the Commission that resulted in consolidation of some of the local government grants and doing away with the indirect grants because of the unintended consequences of national departments putting in infrastructure in municipalities, and municipalities are not ready to actually deal with that infrastructure. So you roll it out, you have not integrated the plans, you've got no exit strategy, and the infrastructure is no longer maintained when you pull out. Now, these are the challenges that we were faced with at that particular time, but now we're seeing those same the same trend basically emerging in the system, and we are of the view that we need to actually get a very clear sense of whether indirect grants themselves in their own right perform better than direct grants. And we have agreed with the National Treasury that we will actually conduct an exercise to review the performance of indirect grants over the past few years to see whether or not the trend that we are observing actually justifies the direction that we see it seems to be emerging, especially with respect to local government conditional grants. Let me, Chairperson, stop it at that point. Thank you very much.
Commissioner, I think it's always refreshing to listen to it. Now, I just want to ask just quickly on my feet on the last comment that the acting chair makes with regard to the consultation when there is a shift or when there's change from the department on the grant that they manage. What I just want to make to be clear about the consultation that the commission would like to have, because I was also interested to see that there was a frankness about the bypassing on the 0.2.2. But I just want to find out, is it in the view of the commission the prior consultation that they seek, do you envisage or do you want what I can refer to for the lack of better term, a core determination with those department insofar as the shift is concerned? Does the commission wants to have a share in the decision making on that right up front into that particular decision? I just want to find out, just to be clear in it, and what does it mean in the independence position of the commissions further down the road, should the co-determination be found to be wanting later? Because there could be a double-edged sword. I don't know. I'm just wanting to understand from the commission on that part, whilst I think it's important for consultation. Now, just a quick questions.
Let me just interrupt. You're raising an important question, but I got distracted because I wanted to just stop to check for us if the bells do ring, because the condition of this meeting is that if the bells do ring, we must be able to go and vote. So I was just trying to check whether we can be able to hear the bells. So the question that you're raising it in relation to the concern that is raised of not being consulted sometimes when these grants are being done. Okay. No, it's fine.
You summarized it.
Okay.
Indeed, you have left lots of other things I said in between. But I think it's fine. You did capture it. Now, in the submission, there are a number of areas where I will agree with many of the suggestions. The others, maybe as a question, maybe Salga will answer those particular questions as directors in terms of integrated cities. I think the 10-year plan in terms of capacity, maybe Salga will, in the other presentation, will deal with that. The question that I was making note of here, Chair, where is this now? I can't even read my handwriting. Oh yes, on the fiscal framework issues and the direct and indirect. there's a worry growing around this shifting of grant in between. I did ask this question. What is the commission view on this? I know on the page 9 you do make the point about the lack of capacity, but I just want to find out. I mean, is it upfront knowledge that department or government or department X would have in terms of the lack of capacity, and therefore the appropriate function that has to be performed by either direct by municipality or by province? And why is that decisions, it's like in here in terms of this? Well, what is your comment around that particular issue in terms of the actual planning? Also, SALGA, I think they will also talk to this particular issue when they make their presentation later. I take note of the capacity issue. Now, the lack of capacity, this is a dragging issue. It's a dragging issue for year after year, there's strategy after strategy. And I think that including with the COCTA strategy, hands-on, DBSA, whole range of mechanism that has been put in place. Now, but you continuously move forward, still find that there is a problem that you still don't have the capacity. What is the thing that plan that should be a workable plan in terms of plan that is implementable and workable, rather than year after year you hear the same issue which lead to the lack of implementation and spending of the finances, then there's a shift, then it's a rollover, then it's an indirect, then it's a direct. So something is not gelling. And what is it in terms of your comment? I know that perhaps you will say that's not the problem that the commission deals with, but what is your view? I'm just asking a frank question here. Let me leave it there, and I see I see the my colleague on my left speaking with a face, so I would like to leave it. There's a face expression in that. Not yours. It's just another honorable member that was talking to me. So, and I know him very well. I'll leave it there, but yeah, I'll come back. A few other questions, but I'll come back.
But I hope that you will also comment on some of the questions that have been raised, especially Dr. Ramatlakane was saying that I didn't summarize everything that you were saying in that question of direct and indirect, what you call a grant. I do know that there's something that is being said in the budget review, but I think that members and perhaps would like to engage with that. Honorable Saf, you want
to? Yeah, I wasn't going to ask any questions, but since Honorable Ramatlakane is insisting on it, I will do something about it. Just on slide number 9, you say that the Commission is concerned that little progress has been made on government's review of the local government function and fiscal framework that was proposed in 2010. Who is to do that investigation, and how far has it progressed? Because you say you worried about the progress, so something is not happening. Because I'd just like to know, because you know I've got a particular interest in the existence of district municipalities, but in any case, that's not serious at the moment. It's just the whole review of the system.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was concerned when the issue of underperformance of this agricultural grant was mentioned, because the problem is we have this all these programs that are related to CASP? At what stage do we make the difference that, you know, the problem is in the rural development part or in the agricultural part? Because right now I think the issue that there are going to be some FETs built might address the issue, but the problem of, is it the problem, actually the problem of capacity that makes them not spend this very important issue that has to do with food security? Or is it the fact that the existing programs are in the wrong department? Thank you. And the other one was that of that equitable share with the municipality, because it's not conditional, but does it actually do what it's supposed to do? Have you ever tried to check that this is the equitable share that goes to the municipality, and we always hear people who are supposed to benefit from that equitable share not benefiting, still linking to what I asked the treasury? Have they ever done any investigation into the organogram of the municipalities, which also has to do with these funds? Because municipalities can go on employing. We have many examples. I think each and every municipality has that, where you see that is overpopulated with staff. What pays that staff, if not the equitable share? Have you ever had any discussion with the treasury or tried to venture into it? Because that is needed, because each and every municipality, I can vow on it, has more staff than what is supposed to have, and those people are employed at higher positions with all the benefits, cars and everything, and you don't see where this person fits in. And it now comes to, is the money that's supposed to go to service delivery being used to buy, to pay all those people who are not on the organogram? Thank you.
No, thank you, honored members. Kuma, I think the team is almost fully what you call now. I see the colleagues behind you are back. From finance. Just to comment on that, Mr. Kumar, I think that in future, please communicate with us where you feel that there are clashes, because especially on this one, we're really trying to ensure that we keep pace. You know, if we don't do this, we're not supposed to be doing it, because it's supposed to deal with fiscal framework first, exhaust it, and go to division of revenue. But if we wait for that, we won't have time. It must be passed by next week, Friday. And so, but where there are clashes, we could always find ways of managing that, so that we give yourself opportunity to have full strength that side, and then have full strength on the other what you call the committees as well. In future, please feel free to communicate with us. And I must also welcome my friend from the Parliamentary Budget Office. But we need them from the beginning of the meeting here. But I know that we're talking about capacity in the departments. We don't have capacity here in Parliament, but we're trying to build that capacity at the Parliamentary Budget Office. I'm sure by the time we go to MTBPS, we'll be fine. But let me come to our work here. Bab Kumalo, you know, Mr. Rakale, am I right? Yeah. Well, at the beginning of the presentation, he mentioned something interesting, you know, about this BEPP, no? About BEPP. It's something that is very interesting to me. I was just trying to consult here to check where it is. He says that the planning needs to be done over 10 years. They need to have a long-term planning of about 10 years. Now, I'm not sure about that. Maybe just need some more, what you call a meet, you know, in that if that's what they are saying about this built environment performance plans. And perhaps vis-a-vis your IDPs and the other plans, your document in the narrative, for instance, on page 3, says no, it's not me. Sorry. Comrade Manchester, are you phoning me? Just tell her it's my phone. I think she doesn't know this number, you know. I don't know why this one was not closed. But on page 3, on paragraph 2.6, the other sentence says, more importantly, not the full sentence, was that someone, furthermore, small municipalities should be assisted when necessary to maximize benefit of integrated planning.
Nobody.
Sorry?
Nobody.
Bells are ringing. Those bells says we must suspend this, what to call it, process, because we really verify here. I had requested honorable what to call that we meet in some offices closer to the house so that we don't walk long distance to the house. Please, we really requesting to suspend.